It is very nice to be with you, and I trust that as we're together, God will be pleased to give us His blessing. Please turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24, and a reading from Exodus chapter 24. The first eight verses, you'll notice the similarity in one of the verses here in Exodus 24 with what our Lord has to say with regards to the Lord's Supper. Exodus 24, verses 1 through 8. Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to me, to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him." Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your love of us in Christ Jesus. And as we have opportunity now to look into your word, we pray that you'll be pleased to apply it to our hearts and renew us by the power of your Spirit, that as your redeemed covenant people, we might worship you as we ought in spirit and truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you're a little boy or girl, when you're a little boy or girl, you learn to play with blocks. And blocks are nice. Red, blue, yellow, orange. The emphasis is on the blocks. And when you get a little bit older, you learn, you can build a tower with the blocks. And then you learn to smack the tower and knock it down. But the emphasis is still on the blocks. And then when you grow to be a little bit older, you learn, you can build things out of the blocks. You could build a little garage and put a little roof over it and put a truck in the garage. And the emphasis begins to change, begins to shift from the blocks to what you can build with the blocks, from the individual blocks to the structure that emerges. When we interpret the Bible, we also need to grow up. We need to grow up in this fashion. Now, I'll put it this way. Inductive Bible study has been the thing that a lot of people have been involved in for several years. And in inductive Bible study, you study the meanings of words and how the words go together. And you do word studies. That's good. But, you know, the words go together to form sentences, and the sentences go together to form paragraphs, and the paragraphs form arguments. And pretty soon you realize that the emphasis is not placed just on the words, but it's placed on the arguments that are presented in Scripture. In the stories of Scripture, little stories are put together to make a big story. And most of the Bible happens to be a big story. This morning we're going to look at the book of Exodus. And I told Pastor Adam that my text would be Exodus chapter 1 through Exodus chapter 40. But I wouldn't read the whole text. And actually, Exodus is my text this morning. Because what I want you to see is the big picture in Exodus. We're going to look at some passages of Scripture in Exodus and in the New Testament. But I want you to see the big picture in Exodus. And that Exodus really begins with the whole idea of redemption, the first part, and then shifts to Mount Sinai, where God affects His covenant with His people. And then the latter part of the book of Exodus has to do with worship. And so the big picture in worship has to do with redemption, covenant, and worship. And the lesson is simply this, and this is the lesson I want you to get this morning, that as God's redeemed people, redemption, as God's redeemed people, you are to gather in covenant community, you are to gather in covenant community to worship Him. That's God's purpose for you as it emerges from the book of Exodus. So that's the point I want you to get. Follow God's purpose. Come together as God's redeemed people in covenant community to worship Him. And you will fulfill God's purpose when you do this. So let's look at the book of Exodus. The first chapters in the book of Exodus, chapters 1 through 18, have to do with God's people being redeemed from bondage in Egypt. And you know the story generally that when Exodus begins, the people are in bondage in Egypt, and God brings Moses to the people. Moses is born, and Moses is born to be a redeemer. And Moses, when he grows up, is cast out into the wilderness, literally, through various providences. And God meets him in the wilderness, and God says to him, I'm going to send you back to Pharaoh, and you are to lead the people out of bondage. And after a series of miracles, after a series of plagues that befall the Egyptians, a final plague comes to the Egyptians. The slaying of all the firstborn in the land. And this brings us to Exodus chapter 12. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 12, where we read about the Passover feast. The Passover feast. Exodus chapter 12. And I'm going to read just a short passage here, Exodus 12, verses 21 through 28. 21 through 28. Listen to God's word. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. The blood of the Lamb placed around the door of every Israelite house. Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. The blood, the sign. And with that sign, the destroyer will pass over the house. Verse 24, and you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. And when you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite. And when your children say to you, what does this rite mean? You shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshipped. Then the sons of Israel went and did so, just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. The Passover lamb killed, the blood sprinkled around the door, the destroying angel coming and destroying all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, but passing over the houses of all of those of the children of Israel. The children of Israel took this seriously. And they knew that their lives were at stake and that God was about to deliver them from the hands of the Egyptians. Verses 40 and 41 in chapter 12. Now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. If you go back up to verse 37, you'll see, now the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, aside from children. 600,000 men. Wives? Over 1 million? Children? 2 million people? Maybe 2.5 million people involved here? Verse 40 again. Now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to that very day, the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Israel delivered. And the Egyptians, when they saw what happened, they said to Pharaoh, get rid of these people. Get them out of the land. Were being destroyed because of their presence. And Israel was literally expelled. And of course, then you remember the story of the crossing of the Red Sea and how the people crossed as if on dry land and then came to Mount Sinai. But before we ourselves come to Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus, turn in the New Testament, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to go back to Exodus. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 7. Notice the connection that Paul makes here in verse 7. It's kind of a side remark, if you will. Paul says, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. When the Apostle Paul looked at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he connected that event, the shedding of the blood of Christ, back to the Passover lamb, where the people of Israel in bondage in Egypt were spared physically. But now, in an amazing fashion, those who trust in Jesus Christ, those who love Jesus Christ and commit themselves to following Him and understand Him as the Passover Lamb for the Christian, the death angel passes over them and they have eternal life. They are spared eternal death and judgment in hell. What a blessing this is to receive Jesus Christ and know that death no longer has a sting. Every one of us in this room will die one day. Physically, every one of us. And in different manners, on different occasions. But if you love Jesus Christ, when you pass from this life physically, and your soul or spirit is separated from your body, that soul or spirit will pass immediately into the presence of the Lord and be made perfect in holiness. And when Christ comes a second time in glory and the dead are raised, your body will be raised from the grave and your soul or spirit will be reunited with that body and you will be in glory bodily and glorified bodily and live in heaven in glory forever. That's the meaning of Christ being our Passover, friends. Give praise to God that this is the case. He not only redeemed the Egyptians, He redeems you and me through Christ Jesus. Well, that's the first part of Exodus. The second part of Exodus takes us to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, God forms Israel into a covenant community. Turn to Exodus again, if you would. Look at Exodus 19. Exodus 19 is the place where God brings the people to Sinai. And Exodus 19 through 24 is the second section of Exodus. Exodus 19:1 says, in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. There's your transition. And what happens at Sinai? God comes down. Moses goes up on the mountain and he receives the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. And in Exodus 21 and 22 and 23, those commandments are expanded and applied to the lives of the Israelites in various ways. And then in Exodus 24, we find a ceremony that takes place. Look again at Exodus 24 in the text we read earlier. Let's read it again. Let's begin at verse 3. Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has spoken we will do." Here is a vow that the people of Israel took at Mount Sinai. I've said in my classes at the seminary, when I was teaching there, this was Israel's covenant of church membership. This is what they said: all that the Lord has done, we will do, and we will be obedient. Verse 5, he sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Blood in the basins. And he sprinkles the blood on the altar where the bulls are sacrificed. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. He took the book of the covenant. He probably read Exodus 20, Exodus 21, Exodus 22, and Exodus 23, at least those portions of Scripture. And the people responded again. Look at our text. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. There it is, the covenant of church membership. I'm fascinated with this. And one of the reasons I'm fascinated with this is that there have been arguments that, in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, there are seven questions that individuals need to answer as a part of the covenant of church membership. Way too much. We need to shorten that. And some churches have shortened it to four questions. Listen again to what the people say. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. I submit to you, friends, that if you're a Christian, and if you love Jesus Christ, it is on your heart to say exactly the same thing and say to the Lord, all that you have spoken, Lord, I will seek to do by your grace, and I will seek by your grace to be obedient. Isn't that the proper posture of the Christian? I think it is. And so the covenant of church membership, if you're a member of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, is not any more than what the Bible asks of you and me. And verse 8, so Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." God brought the people out of Egypt. He redeemed them and he brought them to Mount Sinai to form them into a covenant community. This was all done, friends, in a corporate setting. Understand this is the case. This was all done in a corporate setting. The people were brought together and God effected his covenant with the people as a body. He formed them into a covenant community. God is doing the same thing with you and me. Keep your finger there in Exodus again, and go back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 25. 1 Corinthians 11, 25. God is making of you and me a covenant community. A community bound together in covenant with God. God's doing that. I think sometimes we get this backwards. We think to ourselves, well, I need to be in covenant with God, and so I have duties that I need to perform, and I'm going to pledge myself to accomplish those duties. Yes, that's part of it. But remember, God acts first, you and I respond. God makes covenant with us. This is how Exodus reads. Verse 25 in 1 Corinthians 11. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Almost the same language as Exodus 24. This cup is the new covenant. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus Christ comes into the world to shed His blood in obedience to His Father to effect His covenant with you and me, to embrace us in covenant with Him. This is His business. This is what He's about. This is what He's doing. He doesn't redeem you and me so that we can flit around in the world as independent, redeemed people. No, He brings us together in covenant communities to serve Him. And that's what the church is all about. Redemption, covenant, and then the third part is worship. Back to Exodus. We were in Exodus 24. Look at Exodus 25 now. The third part of the book of Exodus is Exodus 25 through 40. It's Exodus 1 through 18, Exodus 19 through 24, Exodus 25 through 40. And in Exodus 25 through 40, the major theme is worship. Look at Exodus 25 and verse 8. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. God had them at the foot of Sinai. He brought them there with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand. He redeemed them and He formed them into a covenant community. And as a covenant community, He said, Now I want you to construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among you. And the rest of Exodus has to do with the instructions that God gives with regard to building the tabernacle and the construction of that tabernacle. Look at Exodus 25, verse 8 once again. Let them, who was to build the sanctuary? The people. I say to you, dear friends in the Lord Jesus Christ, God commissions you in this day to build a sanctuary for Him, a dwelling place for Him. It's this body. Let them construct a sanctuary. What is a sanctuary? It's a place to dwell. A sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. The word dwell in the Hebrew is the word shakan. Think about that. Shakan. Ring any bells? Shakinah. It's the same word from which we get our English word Shekinah. And what is the Shekinah? The dwelling presence of God. The dwelling glory of God. And of course, when the tabernacle was completed, God came in the glory cloud to dwell among the people. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. Okay. New Testament again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 16. My classes used to tire of me going to this text. Listen to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Or chapter 6, verse 17. 16. I'll get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God is making of you friends in Jesus Christ. You are living stones. God is making of you a temple, a New Testament temple, a dwelling place, where He has chosen to meet with you. Look at the text again. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. He's talking to a body of people just like you. And he says, for we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple. No, not a temple made with stones, not a tabernacle made with curtains. We are the temple. We are living stones being built up into a spiritual house to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. And what does God say to us to validate the fact that we are the temple of the living God? Look at the text again. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. One of God's great purposes, you see, is for you not only to be redeemed, but for you to be brought into covenant relationship with Him in community, so that in community you will worship Him. And His plan is to meet with you and to dwell in your midst and to reaffirm to you that you do belong to Him, that you are His children, and that He is indeed your God. The text once again, for we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, God is dealing with you and me in the same way He dealt with the children of Israel of old. God deals with us in redeeming us and forming us into covenant communities for the purpose of worshiping Him. And if you want to fulfill God's purpose for you as redeemed people, you will gather purposefully as a covenant community for the purpose of worshiping Him. Remember the pattern in Exodus again. Exodus 1 through, what is it? 18. Redemption. 19 through 24, covenant. 25 through 40, worship. As redeemed people come together in covenant community to worship God, and you will fulfill His purpose for you. Are you struck by the fact that there is rabid individualism in America today that has come into the church like a flood? Rabid individualism, epitomized by sitting around a table in a coffee shop and rather than talking with one another, texting texting one another. What happened to the community? No. The technology has changed so much. But what is God about? God is about building communities and churches in which people may gather together to worship Him. And so, I say to you, and I say to those who are tied up in this individualistic mode, even as far as their Christian faith is concerned, time out. The best and most profound experiences you will have as a believer are not those which are bound up with private devotions or one-on-one encounters. When you enter glory, you will be in a situation where you will be with myriads and tens of thousands of believers gathered around the throne and singing praises to God in a great corporate setting. And I submit to you that that will be the most profound encounter with Christ you can expect to have. And what is the church to be? The church is to be a reflection of heaven. And so I say to you, looking again at the pattern of Exodus, remember that pattern. Redemption. Covenant. Worship. And as redeemed people come together as a covenant community for the purpose of worshiping your Lord. When you do so, dear friends, you will fulfill God's purpose for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your love. Bless us as we contemplate the lesson and purpose of the book of Exodus. And we ask, Father, that you will be pleased by your grace and understanding to bring it home to our hearts that as redeemed people, gathering in covenant community, we will indeed lift our voices and hearts to you, to worship you as we ought. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.